the scapegoat. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 8. There is great power in words. There may even be more power in pictures. Pictures seem to live and register in our minds better than words. So God has given us a world of moving models in the Old Testament, and these proclaim in detail His profoundest truths. They are models which point to Christ, and the Spirit of God has made them suitable to every grade of student, so that even the smallest child can understand them. One of the most living of these models is Israel's great day of atonement. On this day, many animal victims died. The stream of blood was deep and wide. This abundant death proclaimed the awful curse of sin. But each sacrifice also proclaimed God's remedy for sin, and sounded out the truth of redemption. These sacrifices, then, were heralds of Christ. On the Day of Atonement, two goats were brought for a sin offering, one to die, one to be let go. The two goats were to be alike, not one greater than the other, and were to be of the same matter, that is, both were to be goats. If one had been stone and the other wood or metal, the lots would not have been legal. They had to be alike, so one could not be greater. One could not be great and one small. They were to be alike. Then the high priest received them at the door of the tabernacle and cast lots. Now the casting of lots may seem to men very casual, but God was the disposer of the lot, and according to His determination were things settled, as you see in Proverbs 16 and verse 33. This denotes, in the death of the first goat, that the sufferings and death of Christ were according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. All concerning His sufferings and death were according to His appointment and will and command, as was also the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the goat on which the Lord's lot fell was delivered up to death. Of the two goats, you see, one was selected for death, the other to live as the scapegoat. In this selection of the two goats, we see a picture of God selecting His beloved Son in the counsels of eternal love. The beloved Son was called to execute the saving work because He alone was adequate to perform it. Now look at the first goat. The first goat had to die. Its blood was shed. With this blood, the high priest then entered the Holy of Holies. There he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and seven times on the horns of the altar, and on the tent of meeting. This extensive use of the blood was to show the extensiveness of sin. It is a widespread malady. It is found everywhere man moves. But the blood shed is also man's purchase price. It meets every demand of justice. It pays all dues to law. It settles all debts. The blood of Christ thus sprinkles every page of a believer's life and blots out all his sins. The same blood is our peace. When conscience is awakened by the Spirit of God, it writhes in agony. It is sore wounded at the remembrance of sins and can find no rest. It cries as David did, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Psalm 51 and verse 4. Such an awakened heart finds no rest, no forgiveness, no deliverance until it comes to the mercy seat and to the blood of sprinkling. Now that precious blood of Christ has a fourfold power. First of all, sin-destroying power. Death is like a weed with many roots. The sins of men have spread far and wide, and they rise up in every season. Nothing can destroy these vile weeds but the touch of the Saviour's blood. Let poor souls look to the Saviour's cross and see what the blessed Son of God did to sin. He destroyed it completely. Secondly, the blood has Satan-defeating power. There is no place on earth which does not bear traces of Satan's presence or influence. No palace of kings, no shacks of the poor have ever shut him out. He has the key to every home and to every room in the home. Nothing can defeat the evil designs of Satan and overcome that evil influence but the precious blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. Satan flees before the ensign of the cross. Thirdly, that blood has hell-defying power. Hell cannot receive a blood-washed soul. Its chains cannot bind such a one. Its fires cannot burn him. The gnawing worm cannot torment him. The blood of Jesus is the only safeguard against the pains of hell. Fourthly, that blood has heaven-delivering power. The blood of Christ removes every hindrance in the way to heaven. When you look into heaven and see the great throng and you ask, "What are these?" The answer is, "They which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." As we read in Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14, no other cleansing can avail to make sinners fit for such a holy place as God's heaven. No other cleansing but the blood of Christ. So we read the first goat had to die. Now we look at the second goat. Now the second goat appears. This is the scapegoat. Now there have been many through the centuries who have believed this second goat was typical of the devil. Indeed, we do remember the Lord was to have his heel or the lower part of him which was his body, bruised by Satan. The Lord also was brought into a wilderness, as this goat was, to be tempted of the devil, and had that sore conflict with Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord sweat great drops of blood, and then later upon the cross, when he submitted to the death of the cross. But these two goats were to be alike. And so I cannot accept this scapegoat as the devil, nor does it point to the Lord in resurrection life and his ascension into heaven, which could by no means point to our Lord being led into a wilderness. Nor does it point to his resurrection. His resurrection was not a sin sacrifice. And so to me it is something quite different. The high priest stretches out his hands and lays them on the head of the scapegoat. Now it is a token of transmitted guilt. And the devil does not bear the guilt of believers. Then the high priest confessed all the sins of his people, a fearful catalogue. The scapegoat receives the burden. It takes the load of the people of God. The scapegoat is then led away. Those transmitted sins are borne beyond the camp, beyond where man can ever discover them, beyond the far borders of a waste wilderness. The goat disappears into the thickets of an untrodden waste, never to be found again, doubtless to die. I believe that this shows that what God has done with the sins of his people in the goat that died, we see how he made atonement for our sins. Now in the scapegoat, he shows us what he has done with our sins. That is, all our sins were laid on Jesus. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verse 6. And listen to what he has done with them. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103 verse 12. None can measure that distance. It is an infinite separation. Listen again to Micah. Chapter 7 and verse 19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. No line can reach them. They are sunk in immeasurable depths. They are forever hid in a very deep grave. Listen to Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Eyes with forward bent cannot see them. They are hid in the distant rear. I have blotted out, he said, as a thick cloud, thy transgressions, and as a cloud, thy sins. Isaiah 44 and verse 22. The blackening clouds, all full of storm and tempest, are not removed only, so that they can blow back another day, but they are blotted out to exist no more. They have vanished away. They shall not be found, says the Lord in Jeremiah 50 and verse 20. Now the scapegoat confirms this truth, and there is no deeper comfort than to know that all our sins, so many, so vile, so hateful, have been thus removed. The Lord Jesus has taken them away, and God sees his believing people only in the glories of his beloved Son. Hear the words of an unknown writer Just two verses. O Christ, thy precious blood was shed. For guilty sinners thou didst die. My sins were all upon thee laid. On thee my soul doth now rely. Thee, Lamb of God, by faith I see, a perfect sacrifice for me. 'Twas grace abounding brought thee down from yonder realms of light above. The cross was thine, and thine the crown shall ever be, O Lord of love. Thy mighty triumph o'er the grave declares thy right, the lost to save. Amen and amen.